Hello, everyone. Dan Dillman here, bringing you a little of this, a little of that. Today's show is about baseball, and to get you in the mood, listen for just a few moments here.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Take me out to the ball game.
We're in the midst of the playoffs now. And I thought you might like to hear about some of the rule changes that could be coming in the near future. In other words, the game of tomorrow. And to find this script, I looked in the Sports Illustrated at the end of July and the first week of August. There's an article entitled Proving Ground. It says, more hits, less downtime, robo-umps. There are lots of ideas, some of them crazier than others, for how to improve the game. And now, Major League Baseball has a laboratory to test them. On the surface, the Atlantic League looks like an off-the-beaten-path independent minor league. But if you look closer, you will see the future of the game, perhaps. Because we're looking at a game where infield shifts are banned, a game with bigger bases, pitchers facing 3 batter minimums, hitters who can steal first, robo-umps. And to try and pull that all together, let me explain what this is all about. The official baseball rules do not begin with a foreword, or a table of contents, or even a list of key figures. They begin with a record of their own history. It takes nearly an entire page listing the date of every rule book and its amendment from the last 7 decades. It shows the rules were updated in Chicago in 1956 and in Houston in 1964. They were amended in Louisville in 1992 and in Las Vegas in 2008 and by teleconference in 2017. A few amendments have been revolutionary. Many have been the opposite. Arcane tweaks in obscure passages, unnoticeable to anyone watching or playing or doing anything other than umpiring. None were formally tested beforehand, installed in a playing environment outside of major or minor league baseball, observed in action, and modified accordingly to achieve the desired outcome before being officially adopted. Well, none yet. In March, Major League Baseball announced a 3-year agreement to test experimental rules and equipment at the top level of independent league baseball. In the Atlantic League, amid increasing discussion about all that might ail the game, too slow, too little offense, too boring, baseball decided to try something new. It would develop a series of rule changes and test them on independent league players and study the results to determine which ones might be added to the majors. The program began in earnest last April with, for example, bigger bases, a three-batter minimum for pitchers, and a ban on defensive shifts. It's only gotten more extreme in the months since. Now the league is in the process of rolling out an automated strike zone and has instituted a more batter-friendly check swing policy and even the ability to steal first base. No, I didn't misspeak myself. To read the new rules is to see a potentially radical new vision of the game. But that's very different from what is to see the rules in action, or, more important, to play by them. The Southern Maryland Blue Crabs played in the Atlantic League's first game of the 2019 season, which meant they had the honor of being the first team to break a rule. Twice. It was funny. Well, I don't know if it was funny is the right word, says General Manager Courtney Nischel. But yes, we were the first team to break two rules. For the first one, Southern Maryland got off with a warning. Early in the game, out of habit, the catcher began to head toward the starting pitcher for a chat on the mound. Not so fast. The umpire flagged him down before he'd gone too far. The Atlantic League no longer allows mound visits unless a pitcher is injured or is being removed from the game. For the second one, the Crabs had to pay. It looked like a routine play in the fourth inning. An easy ground ball to the second baseman, who was standing in shallow right field, who lobbed it to first with plenty of time to spare. The runner was out. Or not. The umpires determined that the second baseman had violated the ban on defensive shifts by being that far into the outfield, so the runner was awarded first base. Halfway through the season, both of these rules look a little different. For defensive positioning, the league has clarified that infielders can play deep in the hole without representing a shift. As long as there are two fielders on either side of second base, even if they're no more than 10 feet into the outfield, it's legal. The mound visit ban is still in place, but there's one exception. The battery can briefly meet to discuss signs, such as when a runner is on second and they need to switch to a different set to prevent sign stealing, to make sure that they don't discuss anything else, the ump listens in. And about those first base steals, a new creation for the second half of the season. A batter may run to first on any count not caught in flight by the catcher, similar to a dropped third strike, or perhaps a wild pitch. If you've got a below the Mendoza line type hitter, as a manager, we're talking about a 200 average or lower. As a manager, you're hoping that the pitcher throws a wild pitch and your batter can steal first. I'm yelling for my guy to take off, said the manager. And a week later, the first manager watched one of his players do it. These new rules are fairly representative of the whole experiment, requiring adjustments from everyone involved as the season goes on. Most are geared toward boosting the game's entertainment value by cutting out dead time increasing the action, and most are minimally intrusive on the field, no matter how dramatic they may sound on paper or in my voice. Now it's time for the Robo-Ump. TrackMan itself is clearly visible up behind the plate, a boxy black object that can be seen from almost anywhere in the stadium. The radar-based system has a three-dimensional strike zone calibrated for the size and stance of each hitter. The ball's location is recorded and nearly instantaneously transmitted to the plate umpire, who's equipped with earbuds and an iPhone. He'll hear a recorded voice say, strike, or ball, in his ear, and then he'll relay the call. The system is being rolled out gradually. The Atlantic League has been trying to work out the kinks, which goes beyond simply ensuring that the technology is as precise as possible. For one thing, they've had to choose what the ump would hear. One beep for a strike, two for a ball. Words from a human voice or from a robot? It's a male voice, though the speaker's identity is secret. Even the league's president doesn't know who he is. They've had to decide if an umpire would ever have the authority to override a robocall. Yes, in certain circumstances, such as when a curveball bounces in front of the plate and comes back up through the zone. TrackMan won't know any better than to say strike, but the ump will be able to call it a ball. Now the system is here. It was first tested in a game situation in mid-May, and it had its official introduction at the league's All-Star game in July. Plans were to start using it every day for every team. Come back with a question: how much experimentation might be too much? Well, this is clearest in a proposed change to move the mound back 2 feet, which was originally scheduled to take place after this year's All-Star game, but has since been reconsidered and pushed on to 2020. It would most likely increase offense, making it difficult for pitchers to get the same movement on the ball that they're used to from 60 feet 6 inches. But it could require dramatic change from other players. None of those changes have been over the top, according to one of the Blue Crabs players. Now, if the mound was completely different, if you think about it, that's the pitcher's release points. That's our timing as hitters. It would be completely different. Well, even if the mound isn't being moved yet, it's notable that it's being proposed in the first place. There's potential for baseball not just to be strategically different, but materially so, with physical ramifications for players. If there's a limit to the league's experimentation, could it go beyond literally changing the playing field itself? I don't know if you think that some of this is, all right, I'll say it, stupid, but I couldn't resist sharing this article with you. Return with another question for today, and that is, it's time for answers as to whether the baseball is juiced this year. In the August 5th edition of USA Today, we have this article entitled, Players, Time for Answers About Juiced Ball. They're fatigued by the subject, having talked about those wild flying baseballs all season. But they might be about to get some answers. The Sports Science Laboratory at Washington State University informed USA Today that it has uncovered evidence perhaps explaining the historic number of homers hit this season. Anticipating that Major League Baseball Commissioner Bob Manfred will unveil the findings within a number of weeks. Well, here we are at the end of August and beyond, and we've heard nothing yet. The players, though, eagerly await an answer. Yeah, we're curious, said Washington Nationals' Sean Doolittle. It's a fundamental change that has been made. We really want transparency about this because it's something that feels like it's really changed and we obviously weren't consulted on it beforehand. Well, certainly something has dramatically changed with three teams on pace to shatter the Yankees' record of 266 home runs hit in a season. Going into Sunday, some weeks ago, Major League Baseball was on pace for 6,700 homers. That's 1,100 homers more than a year ago, and 600 more than the record of 601 and 05, hit in 2017. Some players believe it's silly for the commissioner's office to even bother going to such extremes to figure out the home run surge, believing that there are too many factors to simply blame baseball. Whatever comes out, who cares what it is, said Washington Nationals outfielder Adam Eaton. The game has evolved and everything has changed. Everything is different. Every stadium is different. Baseball is just one thing, that is, the baseball. Home runs are up by 20% over a year ago. There were over 1,000 homers hit in July, which broke the record of July 2004. And at the time this article was written, 8 players had 30 or more home runs, and 26 players had hit 25. But those figures have gone far, far higher since then. Realize that in the last 10 years, only 3 players have hit 50 home runs. But it is literally an explosion of home runs that we have been seeing. Strikeouts and home runs, that seems to be baseball today. Obviously, something is different based on the number of records that have been broken or about to be broken. As long as the playing field is level and no team is gaining an advantage by using different baseballs, some people say, why worry about it? Well, the argument continues to go on about whether or not the ball is juiced. And so Major League Baseball asked Washington State University to check on the baseball, to scientifically study baseballs. They've studied well over 1,000 baseballs up to date. And the scientific committee, which was funded by Major League Baseball, issued a report. One conclusion is that since the start of the 2015 season, the balls used by Major League Baseball showed a decrease in drag, which means less air resistance for the ball, which allows the ball to carry farther. The reason for this is still not known. The scientists concluded that the baseballs, which have been manufactured by Rawlings since 1977, were not intentionally juiced, but the puzzle included a missing piece. There is no explanation for why the baseballs show decreased drag. And I cannot give you the answer to that today. Hopefully, it will be coming reasonably soon. How about a little wit and wisdom to end today's show? What's surreal to you is just somebody else's Wednesday somewhere. Wine is sunlight held together by water. That's what Galileo said. There is something infinitely healing in the repeated refrains of nature, the assurance that dawn comes after night, and spring after winter. Bob Hope said years ago, A bank is a place that will lend you money if you can prove that you don't need it. Blessed is the man who, having nothing to say, abstains from giving us wordy evidence of that fact. And finally, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "I hate quotations. Tell me what you know." Well, we've come to the end of today's show. Hope you enjoyed the information about baseball. And I'm on the lookout now for some more ingredients and articles for a little of this and a little of that. See you next time.